This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Len DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 24th day of April, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. A bit later in the program, Ben Pruess will join us from the Everly, Iowa facility that belongs to the Andersons to take up the cash grain market there in the north central part of Iowa and very close to the south central part of Minnesota. And then, as we make our way through the program, we'll also take up a couple of things. Dave Dickey will be here with the Ag News, and I'll update you on the future of ethanol as it's related to the price of corn with Scott Irwin, ag economist, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. If you can, stay with us on our home radio station or visit willag.org, because we've already updated Commodity Week. It comes up immediately after this program on our home station. And our guests today will include Wayne Nelson, Kurt Kimmel, Rich Nelson, and Jason Clapp. It's all part of the agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. For this Friday afternoon, futures in the corn pit were lower, down 6.25 cents at $3.64.5 a bushel in the May. July, 3.69¾, down 7. And the September, 3.77½, 6¾ lower. December, your new crop at 3.88¼, down 6¼. And the March contract finished 6 cents lower for next year at $3.99¼. May beans at 9.69¾, down 8.5 cents. July at $9.70¾, 9¼ lower. August, 9.66¾, down 9.5. November beans at 9.52½, down 9. In January of next year at 9.59, down 9 cents. A meal at $2 lower for the day, 3.14.60. Oil at 31.67, 35 cents lower. Soft red winter wheat in the July at 4.88½, down 12¾. July hard red at 5.07½, down 14½ for the day. Live cattle futures finished the April contract at 161.22½, $1.92½ higher. June contract at 151.15. Up $2.12½. Feeder cattle in the April futures at $2.15.80, $1.52½ higher for the day. And the lean hogs in Chicago finished the May contract at $71.90, down 2½ cents. June, up 77½ at $79.10. This, of course, is Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.
Let's check the outside markets at this hour. In the energies, crude oil is currently trading at $52.26 a barrel. That's 48 cents lower on the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.92 and 9 cents, half of a cent lower, rather higher on the afternoon. And gasoline in the RBOB is a penny higher at $2.06 of a cent. The natural gas is currently trading $2.53 and 3 cents. That's 2 tenths of a cent higher. And ethanol futures, a settlement price there in Chicago from the CME Group is not available. There it is. May contract at $1.60 and a tenth. That's 2 2/10 of a cent lower on the day. Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,988 is up 70 cents, and the gold futures at $1.77, down about $17 for the day. The dollar index at 97.095 is down 0.359. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. This afternoon, mostly cloudy skies, a high of 63 degrees, south-southeast winds at 11 to 13. Tonight, a chance of showers, then occasional showers and possibly a thunderstorm. That all after 1 a.m., a low of 46 degrees, an east-southeast wind at 10 to 15, gusting to 21 miles an hour. The chance of rainfall for this evening set at 90%. Tomorrow, occasional showers, possibly a thunderstorm, a high of 54. Again, a 90% chance of rainfall Saturday night. Showers are likely at the 60% level. We'll have more on the weather forecast at the bottom of this half hour.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. This is the 24th day of April, a Friday afternoon. We're joined now by Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Mike, thanks for being with us. I know the cattle on feed numbers were released at the top of the hour straight up. Did you get a chance to take a look at them?
Yeah, it looked pretty negative for the feeders especially, Todd. The on-feed April 1 came in at 100% even. Average trade guess on the Reuters Newswire survey, 98.6. Placements in March, probably the most negative number, if you ask me, coming in at 100% even again. Average trade guess, 94.5. Highest trade guess was just under 97, so a big, big month of placing cattle. I haven't looked at the weights, but anecdotal client-customer conversations would suggest these are probably going to be heavier-weighted grass-fed feeders that are hitting the market now. Marketings came in for March at 98%, pretty much right on the money for the average trade guess of 98.2. So I would say you could call it a neutral report for the fat cattle, but the feeders looks like to me pretty negative. So interesting to see if these late week gains we could hold on to as we come back on Monday.
Tell you anything about potential livestock usage of corn over the coming months?
Yeah, I mean, you know, between the hogs and the cattle, you can make an argument that we are replenishing the lost feed demand in corn especially, and even meal for that matter, through the pork when it comes to the lost demand from the avian flu, because the amount of lost feed, actual lost feed, I computed it not much more than 3 million bushels for corn and about 1.5 million bushels for beans. And that's using about 7 million birds lost so far here in the United States. And I'm talking about just domestic feed, but these are domestic numbers for cattle and hogs as well. So I think you could make a real strong argument you're not losing a lot of feed demand when you shake everything out. But the perception is not, you know, typically the reality in the trade, and oftentimes it's not. But the perception is the feed demand's going down because we had fresh avian flu outbreaks in South Korea this morning. And then Minnesota's governor has joined Wisconsin in declaring a state of emergency because of avian flu. And I really think between this and the momentum trading that took place when last week's levels were taken out at mid-session and wheat, you had the makings for most of the reason why we ended so abysmally low, with beans and wheat joining corn settling lower on the week and new crop.
Okay, so I have to ask you about your number for corn and disappearance, at least how much might be left on the marketplace because of the number of birds. I think most are using somewhere between 4 and 6 months. Your numbers sound like you're not keeping birds off of the market or a replacement of those birds for quite that long. Is that right?
This is just actual lost feed at this point in time. The problem becomes when computing this is it takes up to 13, 15 weeks in some cases to be allowed to repopulate the barns that were infected based upon what the government scientists, APHIS, and other federal government and state government agencies allow you to repopulate. And then you haven't even included the fact that countries like South Korea, once you have avian flu and they shut down your imports, it takes 6 months of being avian flu free in a row to before they put you back on the list for accepting imports. So, no, I'm talking specifically about just the 7 million birds roughly that we've lost, not going any farther than that.
Yeah, so this is what they would have eaten if they were remaining in the system in that case.
And that's from birth. I'm not even, I'm using 26-pound gain for turkeys and 8-pound gain for chickens. And, some of these birds, especially the layers, probably were close to full weight at that point. So I'm just trying to get an idea of, can we really say we've lost a lot of feed demand when it comes to the hog and cattle numbers? And I don't think we have, but again, the perception of the trade is that we are losing feed demand as long as this avian flu stays in the news and it continues to spread, so appearing to spread across the world.
So as we take a look at the marketplace, not a good week for corn on the weekly trade. It was down for the week again.
No, that's right. And corn led the rest of the market lower this week. And this is where you can't really put that at the feet of the planning progress numbers, because they actually came in a little bit shy of what the trade was expecting. And yes, you made great strides in states like Illinois and Kansas, in Minnesota, but you still remained very far behind in Tennessee. That state only increased its percentage plant 1%. It's 6% Monday as opposed to 43% on average. Texas coming in at 51% versus 59% on average. No, I think what happened here again, Todd, was the perception of the avian flu really knocking back the feed grains, with the corn being the leader to the downside. Now we open up the door based upon the weekly close and the Bloomberg Commodity Grain Index that I follow, of maybe another 2% down. So the low from October 13th of last year in December corn of 378.5, that is now in play as we walk into next week's trade.
It looks like the low for wheat isn't very far away at this point. A couple of dimes away, but it's not as far away as you might hope. Will it turn anytime soon, do you suppose?
I think there's two big things happening over the weekend. I think that the French wheat crop needs a really good rain right now, and the hard red wheat crop west of Maine needs a really good rain. And the models are saying by Sunday, before we open back up on Sunday night trade, there's going to be over an inch laid down in the hard red wheat belt here in this country. So I think those two weather systems, both French and U.S. weather systems, supposedly getting some rains this weekend, will dictate whether we lose any more on the wheat. I have to say, I thought the dollar performed very well in terms of setting the wheat up for some short covering next week, because we did close below some key moving averages, and we are near some more medium-term moving average and support levels on a weekly basis. And so the dollar, for all the negative news coming out of Greece, did not perform that well at the end of this week. So I think the wheat has a chance for some pretty rapid short covering if we miss a couple rains.
Yeah, so when you say the dollar performed well, you meant it moved lower for the week, making our supplies to the overseas market cheaper potentially.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. And I think it moved well in relation to, do the commodity funds need to add to their already record net short in the six major grains? That's what's so staggering about last Friday's numbers, and it'll be interesting to see what we see here in a little bit. But the speculators' combined net short positions at over 215,000 contracts, that's a new record by 48%, and the last record for those six major commodities was back in August of 13. So we are very net short as speculators in this market right now, and I think you're definitely at a point here where you need to feed the bear. And dry weather in the hard red wheat belt, I think, would cause some short covering.
What do we know about growing regions in other parts of the Northern Hemisphere, Ukraine, Russia, some of the former Soviet states, and China?
Most of those areas are doing well. They came through some very cold temperatures, but were alleviated for the most part with some precipitation as they started to break dormancy. And so France is probably most on the radar screen. Maybe parts of the former Soviet Union would be on the radar screen come a month from now. I think what most of the Europeans are talking about right now is that if we would start to see a quick warm-up in temperatures, then we would probably start to see a degradation in crop conditions. And it's interesting you bring that up, because I went back and looked. You know, we talk about the 2010 model year for new crop corn and beans, and it's interesting because the wheat led the lows in 2010, but between June and August of 2010, the world wheat number was reduced in ending stocks by 10% by the USDA, and that helped turn the whole market around. And then we had some weather problems for the corn later in the year. But this is where the European wheat, especially in 2010, was what kind of led the turn, because production started to go down in the summertime over there.
You have a good weekend, and we'll talk with you again next week.
You too, Todd. Thanks for everything.
You're welcome. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, joins us on this Friday afternoon. Let's check now the agricultural newscast. Your director of ag programming, Dave Dickey, is here.
In agricultural news, major recalls from two well-known ice cream companies due to the discovery of listeria is raising questions about how the pathogen could have contaminated multiple ice cream manufacturing plants and whether the discoveries are related. Blue Bell Creameries of Texas and Jenny's Splendid Ice Creams of Ohio took all their products off the shelves this week. The Nebraska Department of Agriculture discovered the listeria in a random sample of Jenny's ice cream from a Whole Foods store in Lincoln. Blue Bell said it will close its facilities in Texas, Oklahoma, and Alabama for intensive cleaning. The FDA says it still has open investigations in all three plants and will evaluate Blue Bell's progress. The International Grains Council on Thursday raised its forecast for 2015-16 global corn production by 10 million tons to 951 million, although that number remained well below the prior season's record 994 million ton crop. Global wheat production in 2015-16 was cut by 4 million tons to 705 million, owing to reduced prospects in Argentina, China, and India. The latest Argentina Ministry report says that Argentine farmers are expected to harvest a record 59 million tons of soybeans this season. That's an increase from the previous estimate of 58 million. Illinois legislators are moving to designate an official state vegetable. Lisa Ryan has the story.
Senator Sam McCann, a Republican from Carlinville, wants to bestow the honor on sweet corn. Though senators eventually overwhelmingly agreed, they asked McCann if that's actually the appropriate label.
Depending on what the framework in which you're viewing corn, it is either a fruit, a vegetable, or a grain. It is actually both. Depending on whether you're looking at it culinarily or scientifically, if you look at it as a botanist, it's actually a fruit.
But the U.S. Department of Agriculture recognizes corn as a vegetable, which is why McCann says he settled on that designation. Making corn Illinois' vegetable has been a class project for students at Chatham Elementary School. Chatham, right outside of Springfield, hosts a sweet corn festival every year. I'm Lisa Ryan.
And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Many industry watchers are concerned about the reduced profit margins at corn ethanol plants. They may believe the lower profits will eventually work into the price of corn. This is on the idea that plants will cut back production and fewer bushels of corn will be needed. Consequently, the price of corn could drop because of the decrease in the corn for ethanol demand. Well, that's not very likely, says University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin.
Interestingly enough, at the present time, it doesn't look like this situation will have much impact on the price of corn. Simply put, we were, for domestic ethanol use, regardless of the price of crude oil and gasoline, stuck at the E10 blend wall in terms of the amount of ethanol we were using. We were stuck there when we had high crude oil prices. We're going to remain stuck there with low crude oil prices because ethanol has two things going for it. On one hand, despite the fall in gasoline prices, it's still the most competitive source of octane enhancement for gasoline blends. And then there's the safety net of the renewable fuel standards that also keep us there at the E10 blend wall. So I don't think it has much, if any, implications for the price of corn.
The E10 blend wall represents one maximum amount of corn-based ethanol that can be blended into the United States gasoline supply. This amount is equal to 10% of the total number of gallons used and is related to the automobile manufacturer's permissible fuel blend warranties. There is a first-tier maximum amount set by Congress of no more than 15 billion gallons. The E10 blend flexes with the amount of fuel burned by consumers, but is roughly 13.4 billion gallons. And declining as the automobile fleet is updated with higher mileage vehicles. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. this little bit just passed across my desk here in Mumford Hall as it comes from U of I Extension. The Extension professionals here on campus and outside of campus as well are going to host a bird flu conference call next week, although the flu virus has not yet been reported in Illinois, at least the H5N2 version. Its presence in several Midwestern states is a pretty good-sized cause of concern. If you've been listening to the closing market report, you know that's the case. Information will be shared on topics like how to identify the virus, how to limit risks to your flocks. We talked to you about that yesterday as well. For poultry producers, backyard chicken enthusiasts, others who are interested in learning more about the virus, call your local Extension office or dial in next Thursday at 888-983-3631. There's a passcode, so you'll need to find the Extension press release or talk to the local office or just contact me at tgleason@illinois.edu, and I'll send that along to you. Speaking of bird flu, one of the places that has had a problem is very near Everly, Iowa, and the Anderson's facility that Ben Pruce is housed in. Thanks, Ben, for being with us this afternoon. I bet you've had lots of excitement. You're, what, 10 miles from their facilities? Is that right?
Yes, we have, as a matter of fact. It's kind of been subdued, to be honest with you. I think it broke earlier this week or late last week, and it's just, like I said, just about 10 miles away from us, and obviously stirred quite a bit of commotion here, and basically every state, since the state and federal examiner showed up, nobody can get any form of information or even get close to it. So, I mean, it's been kind of quiet on the news front as far as updates.
Yeah, so do we know, have they eliminated the 3.8 million birds? I can't imagine how long that takes to do.
I don't know the process, but I would imagine that cannot take very long.
All right. Okay. So turn me around. Let's go back to the corn market and, more importantly, about planting conditions and how far along producers are in your area.
Sure. Yeah. We had some guys get started late last week. We had an inch of rain move in late last week. I would say today we're not even 5% planted. Guys, we got 100 acres here, 80 acres there. But moving forward here this following week, we got a little bit of rain this afternoon. There's a chance for half an inch to an inch here tonight, and then early into next week, mid-70s, low 80s. If we're not careful, we'll have 70 to 80% of our corn planted by this time next week.
Well, we'll be looking forward to finding out whether that's truly the case. You have been telling us, much like the rest of the cash grain folks and most of our brokers, that you're really concerned producers have left the bin door shut for selling corn. I'm assuming they have not opened it in the last week either.
Ever since the stocks and acreage report come out, I mean, it has just been quiet. The market is making 6-month lows. I know it's brutal, but we continue to advocate, have a plan. If you're not selling corn today, at least have a plan, have open orders in. We're advocating hedges for 2015 and 2016, just looking at the potential carryout numbers. Feels like the risks outweigh the rewards today. It just seems prudent to be taking some of that risk off of the table.
And your spot month bid for the day?
We're 348 cash corn, 928 cash beans.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Ben Pruce of the Anderson's facility in Everly, Iowa. I'm Todd Gleason, back in 2 minutes with the weather forecast.
It's National Pigs in a Blanket Day. One of the earliest references to pigs in a blanket dates back to 1882, where oysters seasoned with salt and pepper were rolled in a slice of bacon, skewered with a toothpick, and then grilled, broiled, or fried. The recipe comes from the Boston Cookbook. Pigs in a blanket became popular in the U.S. in the 1950s as a meat wrapped in dough. On this day in agricultural history in 1743, Edmund Cartwright was born. Cartwright was an English inventor of the power loom, which improved the speed and quality of weaving. He patented the device in 1785. The invention revolutionized weaving, changing it from a manual process to a mechanical one. Cartwright also invented a machine for combing wool. In 1766, Robert Bailey Thomas was born. He was the founder and longtime editor of the Farmer's Almanac, now known as the Old Farmer's Almanac. In 1833, Jacob Ebert and George Dalty patented the first soda machine. In their heyday, soda fountains flourished in drugstores, ice cream parlors, dime stores, department stores, and train stations. Soda fountains reached their high in the U.S. in the 1940s and 50s. And in 1949, chocolate rationing ended in Britain. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This agricultural programming comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Let's check some of the growing region's weather from across the nation. Memphis, Tennessee over the weekend should get a little rainfall and then clear out by Sunday with highs of 74 on Sunday under partly sunny skies, mostly cloudy on Monday, and 69 Tuesday, a 50% chance of rainfall in Memphis. And they'll go to a high of 64 degrees. Des Moines, Iowa will have a sunny sky on Sunday with 60 degrees, 64 on Monday and Tuesday, 67. Each of those days, mostly sunny to partly sunny in Des Moines, Austin, Minnesota, up on the border in the central part of the state. 58 degrees on Sunday under mostly sunny skies, 63 on Monday and 64 on Tuesday. Their lows in the mid-30s to begin the weekend, and then as the week starts, the low 40s. Omaha, Nebraska will have a chance of light rain over the weekend into Saturday and then turn to sunny skies on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday with highs somewhere in the 60s. They'll start that period in the low 60s and slowly warm up. Now, here's Jim Angel from the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute with the Illinois forecast.
The statewide average temperature for this week in April was 51 degrees, almost 5 degrees below average. Precipitation for the week was in the range of 1/2 to 3/4 of an inch, except for the southeast, which received over an inch of rain. For the month of April so far, rainfall has averaged about 68% of normal north of Interstate 70 and averaged 127% of normal south of Interstate 70. According to the Water Survey Soil Temperature Network, the 2-inch and 4-inch bare soil temperatures are ranging from about 40 degrees in far northern Illinois to 50 degrees in far southern Illinois. Most of the rest of the state is in the mid-40s. According to the National Weather Service, highs on Saturdays will range from the 40s in the north to the 70s in the south, with a 60 to 90% chance of rain across Illinois and lingering on into Sunday morning. Lows on Sunday will range from the low 30s in the north to the low 50s in the south. Highs will range in the upper 50s in the north to the low 60s in the south. This temperature pattern will continue through Wednesday. Thursday and Friday will be a little warmer with highs in the 70s across Illinois. A weak system is expected to move into Illinois next Saturday, bringing the possibility of rain and cooler temperatures. The following week is expected to be cooler and drier than average.
Our thanks to Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey for his update of the state forecast. Cultural programming is a co-production of Illinois Public Media and University of Illinois Extension. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming each and every business day of the year.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.